The reading is Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, the resurrection. After the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and on going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Let me start this morning, and it's not very long. It's big letters, and it's only three pages. So let me start this morning with some words of Jesus. That's a great way to start an Easter sermon, isn't it? Some words of Jesus. Here they are. Let's read them together. "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Let me ask you a question. I'm 6'2", all bar a few millimetres, mixing up my measurements. I'm 6'2", I weigh 13 stone, I've got no training in karate or judo or anything like that. I've done a little bit of self-defense with the army, but nothing more than that, because I have a guard, I have a driver who has a gun. And so I just figure I don't need to learn that stuff because he's going to look after me. So I'm not specially trained, but I'm 6'2" and 13 stone, as I say. How many of you here think that you could take me? Come on, be honest. I'm not going to be embarrassed. Be honest. How many of you think that you can take me? Yeah? You think you can take me? You do, right. What do you weigh?
10 stone,
right. Now that's depressed me now, though, you think. What about over this side? Anybody over here? No, girls can't play. That's just embarrassing. Put your hands down. Will, yeah, fair enough. I think Will probably could. Come, there could be some men back here who think they could. No, Carl, you don't? Really? No. Come on, who's sick? Come on, now, I want you to be really honest. No girls, no children. Over the side, anybody? Oh, Stu, come on. Go on, Stu, you must think that you could take me on. Yeah, exactly. There we go. We're not going to find out, but I'm not offended, apart from maybe by Esther. I'm not offended by those of you who thought you could take me on and beat me up. We're not going to find out anyway, like I say. And just remember, I've got a guy with a gun who looks after me when I'm with the army. What I find astonishing and unbelievable. I don't find it unbelievable that some of you could beat me up. What I find astonishing and unbelievable is that 2,000 years ago or so, how many people thought they could take Jesus down? How many people thought that they could take on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and beat him? There were people all over Jerusalem and all over Israel who didn't like Jesus. And they didn't like what Jesus did, and they didn't like what Jesus said, and they didn't like the way that Jesus was popular, and they thought that they could take him on and beat him up and kill him and put him in a tomb, and that would be the end of the story. And they were wrong. Hallelujah. You see, first of all, there were the religious people. There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and the scribes. And they hated Jesus so much. They hated his power. They hated the fact that he could walk up to a lame person and stretch out his hand and they'd walk. They hated the fact that he could walk up to a blind person and spit in their eye and they'd see. They hated the fact that he could walk up to a person tormented in spirit and say, be free, and they'd find peace. They hated the fact that Jesus taught as one with authority. They were the religious elite. They were the educated ones. They were the scribes. They were the Pharisees. They were the ones who ought to have all the authority. They hated it. They hated the fact that he could walk up to a tomb and say, roll back the stone. Lazarus, come here. And he would come. In fact, they hated that one so much that from that moment on, they plotted to kill him. They hated him. They thought they could take him on and beat him and crucify him and kill him. And that would be the end of the story. And they were wrong. Religious people couldn't keep Jesus in a tomb. And then there were the Romans. They were the world's most powerful nation, the conquerors of most of Western Europe, North Africa, the Middle East. They thought they could kill Jesus. They thought they could kill him because he was claiming to be a king. There was only one king as far as they were concerned, and his name was Caesar, and he was back in Rome. And the king was a Roman, and he had all authority and all power. And the Romans didn't like the idea of this jumped-up Galilean carpenter wandering around a dusty corner of one of their provinces, and people were saying he was a king. They hated people who did that sort of thing. That upset the balance of Rome. It disturbed the peace, and so they used to crucify them. See, from the very north of England, right down to the very southern tip of Egypt, the Romans were in charge, and they wanted everybody to know that. Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. And then this man turns up in a nondescript corner of the empire, stirring up crowds, causing riots, with people shouting, Hosanna to the king, upsetting everything. So they sent soldiers with swords and spears and nails, and hammers, and a wooden cross. And they thought they could take him, and that they could kill him, and they could lay him in a tomb, and that would be the end of the story, and they were wrong. Rome couldn't keep Jesus in a tomb and kill him. And then there was the devil, you know. From the day that Jesus was born, he hated Jesus. Probably from before that. He hated him with a passion. From the day he was born, he stirred up Herod to kill every little boy to try and scoop Jesus up in it. At the very start of his ministry in the desert, Satan came to him and tried to throw him off course. He couldn't do that. And so when he went in to preach his first sermon in the synagogue, he stirred up a crowd to grab him and try and throw him off a cliff. And throughout his ministry, Satan was there stirring people and poking them. When he saw Jesus on the cross breathing his last, he must have thought, I've got him now. I've got him. I've taken him. I've won. He's mine. But he was wrong. Not even Satan can keep my Lord in the tomb. They could beat my Lord and Master to within an inch of his life. They could nail my Lord and Master to a wooden cross. They could bury my Lord and Master in a tomb with a huge rock over the entrance. They could put soldiers on guard at that tomb with swords and spears. And all the powers of earth and all the powers of hell still were not enough to keep my Lord and Master in a tomb. He was too big. He was too strong. He was too powerful. He was too full of love to let that let me whisper you a secret. It's not a very well-kept secret, but let me whisper you a secret. Jesus is alive. Yeah. It's Saturday, it's Sunday. Jesus is alive. Not only is Jesus alive now, somewhere else. Jesus is alive now and here. He's in you right now by his Spirit. Jesus, who died and rose again, is alive and he's with you now. Writing to the church in Rome in the first century that he just started, the church starter called Paul wrote these words. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. He says it twice because it's so exciting. Jesus is living in you. He didn't just rise and go. He rose and he's living in you. The Jesus who was too big and too strong and too powerful and too loving to be held by a tomb or by soldiers or by the devil or even by death itself lives in you. Nobody excited by that? The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Oh yeah. And that's what Jesus, I believe, wants to say to us today. Do not be afraid. You know, I look around, I visit other churches, and I talk to pastors, and I talk to Christians, and sometimes they ask advice. How can we do something like what you're doing at Tabernacle? And I see folk who are afraid. Folk who are beaten up by the world, and by the devil, and by the flesh. Afraid that their churches are dying, and afraid that they couldn't do what's needed. And Jesus says, do not be afraid. I see people across this congregation fearful of life, of what future's going to bring, of losing jobs, of financial problems, of debts, of relationships. And the word of Jesus to us today from Revelation, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades, hell itself. That's why the women were told by the angels that first morning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Hallelujah. And that Jesus is alive with us today. That's why Jesus said so many times in the risen encounters, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid anymore. Don't be afraid. The powers of this world have been defeated. The religious powers have been defeated. The military powers have been defeated. Satan has been defeated. The tomb and death itself has been defeated. Do not be afraid. You might be feeling weak or fearful or uncertain or worried this morning. You might be feeling too weak this morning for whatever lies ahead, or too little or too stupid or too old or too young or too powerless. Jesus lives in you. Jesus, the conqueror of death, lives in you. It's the word of God to us today. Do not be afraid. Because he who was dead is alive. And he's living in you now. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. May now the peace of the risen Christ keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and evermore. Amen. Let's finish with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.